Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, how are you doing? Seriously, how are things going in your life on this Monday morning? Are your classes going well? Your relationship with your professors and staff, your friends, your peers? How about at home? How is your relationship with your family, your spouse, your kids? Do you have peace? Are you reconciled with them? How about with your Lord? How are you doing there? What is your prayer life really like? Your devotional life? And how about that personal, private life? Stuff that happens that nobody knows about? Are you anxious and guilty as you struggle with your pet sins? Have you already failed in your pious attempt to give up something for Lent? Do you feel stricken, smitten, and afflicted as you face the realities of your sin in our sinful world? Do you have peace with God, or are you consumed in guilt and sin because you know that you are a poor, miserable sinner and truly deserve the wrath of God, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? You're not asking for much. You just want peace with your neighbor, your family, and God. Well, you, my friends, have come to the right place this Monday morning. Here we are blessed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. St. Paul in our text for this morning is just oozing with the gospel. It destroys fear, hopelessness, and separation. Hear again these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You have been justified. Can't get off to a better start than that in your week. For Jesus says that God has declared you not guilty of your sin. The results of God's righteous declaration is peace, access, and hope. You're innocent in the eyes of God because Jesus bore your sin on the cross. The price has been paid. The death sentence has been carried out. You're justified by faith. Therefore, you have peace with God. Forgiven by Jesus, there's no sin left to leave you at odds with God. Therefore, he is at peace with you for Jesus' sake. The result of God's righteous declaration is a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that passes all understanding. Judgment Day and the wrath of God hold no fear for you. You already know his judgment, his verdict of you, not guilty. Not guilty for Jesus' sake. Therefore, you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You are the Lord's. Nothing can separate you from him. Yes, sin did before, but he's taken all of that sin away. So you have the certain hope that you will see God in his glory, live with him forever in heaven. That's all good news. It's all true, and it's all for you. That's the basis of your hope, even in this sin-sick world. Yet Satan loves to whisper that theology of glory because then when suffering does come along, it shocks. It has the potential to devastate. It creates anxiety and doubt designed to turn you from Christ. There will be suffering, setbacks, and trouble. But suffering does not mean that the Lord has abandoned you. That is what the devil wants you to think. He would have you believe that God is punishing you for some deep, dark, unforgiven sin or has forsaken you because he plays favorites and you're not one of them. But trouble is no proof that you are forsaken. You have the Lord's word sealed with his blood that he will not forsake you. Yes, suffering produces endurance. It is when we suffer that we learn the faithfulness of God. Thus, we learn to repent of trust in other things and to call on the Lord for help. Thus we learn that it is by his grace and mercy that we truly endure. and that endurance produces character. To stand the test is not to say you managed to grit your teeth and gut it out until the Lord says you've had enough. Rather, to stand the test is to remain the penitent child of God, the one who confesses his sins and trusts in the Lord for strength and deliverance. To stand the test is not to wrench matters out of God's hands and follow your own selfish temptations and desires, but to continue to live a life of repentance for sin, service to neighbor, and trust in God. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that character produces hope. This is a great blessing, for it is certain hope in the Lord's deliverance. So you see, suffering does teach us to abandon trust in things and people and throw ourselves only at the feet of God, because things fall apart in our lives. Security and peace in this world are hard to come by, because no matter how carefully you plan and how hard you work, everything in this world is subject to the ravages of sin. You can't even trust yourself. Even sometimes, as you tell yourself to remain calm and think things through, you're ready to fly off the handle and spiraling into a dark place. Trouble teaches you the limits of the things of the world, tells you that you shouldn't put your hope in them. Well, God is not subject to the ravages of sin. He will not fail. Hope in him is certain hope, because the Lord's faithfulness endures forever. He has poured his love into your heart through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to you in your baptism. The blessing of suffering is that it exposes the world for the sinful mess that it is and points you to the faithfulness of your Savior. In him is forgiveness of sins, strength for your faith, and hope that will not disappoint. You can be sure of that as you hear again these words from Paul. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God chose his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why you can be sure. Your hope is sure solely because of Christ and not because of you. Christ died while you were still sinners, ungodly. He didn't die because there was anything cute or attractive or redeeming about you. In fact, the text goes on to say that we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son while we were his enemies. Salvation is yours solely by the mercy and grace of God, not by anything that we have done. We don't have to wonder if we're good enough to be one for whom Christ died. Christ died for you because he died for all while we were yet sinners. That is the love that God demonstrated to you while you were still lost in sin. My friends, you no longer are an enemy, but his beloved child, at peace with God. You are no longer unholy and impure, but cleansed and holy in his sight, reconciled. As the season of Lent leads us toward the joy of Easter, it symbolizes our life in this dark world as we await the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. There will be darkness and there will be suffering. But every time you hear the words of the absolution, that announcement of forgiveness, it's a declaration that you are not forsaken by God, but you are forgiven and you are reconciled. Every time you make the sign of the cross, you're reminded that the Lord has made you his beloved child in your holy baptism. Every time you receive the Lord's body and blood poured out for you, you have assurance that you are forgiven and have life and salvation now and for eternity. So take heart, my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is always hope, and your hope in Christ is sure, because you are forgiven of all your sins. You are justified. You have access to our Lord. You are reconciled to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So no matter what the devil whispers in your ear, you cling to this great text that God has redeemed you in Christ. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.